cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening. This is the voice of the Christian resistance. And I was going to say good evening and happy Labor Day to all you folks out there. I want to dedicate this Labor Day to, one, my hard-working parents who provided and worked so hard and provided for a large family, and for all parents out there that have done that, and also to the 56 men who worked so diligently to give us the King James Bible. Actually, God gave us the Bible, but he used these 56 men to do it. And tonight we have our producer, none other than the famed Derek Venus. Hey, Derek.
Howdy.
Howdy. Okay. And so it's just you and me.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Can we handle it?
Hey, you might. I might need a little help, though.
All right. Let's go after it. Okay. First of all, I want to start out tonight in a prayer because we have three walking wounded. Our dear Pastor Joe Larson tonight is having some major physical difficulties, and along with our resident nurse, Elaine Connolly, and then our old friend, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, all of them are having problems. Sherry had a minor stroke. Pastor Joe's been having some problems with dizziness and keeping his balance, and Nurse Elaine, who she's been having some minor heart problems. So all three of them, I want to hold them up, and I want to ask you folks to join me in prayer for these folks. They're really worth praying for. They really are. They've dedicated their lives to the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold all three of them up right now and ask, Father God, Lord, that you would touch them, Lord, and Lord, every area where they could use a blessing, you would provide that blessing, Lord, that you might give them a clear mind and pain-free body, and Lord, return them back to the ministry, to the cause, Lord God. And so that, Father God, you would also turn their desires and the desires of all that are listening to us tonight, they would turn them more towards you every day in every way in all things. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, tonight we have... The title of the message tonight is The Written Word of God, The Written Word of God. Now, over the years, I've had some very good friends, Pastor Bruce Musselman and Dr. Peter Ruckman and Dr. Gail Ripplinger, all very good friends of mine who worked so hard to show the superiority of the King James Bible over the today almost 400 counterfeits in English out there. Almost 400 counterfeits in English out there today. And so we're going to take a look at the King James Bible and why it is the Bible that God gave us. He didn't give us 400 Bibles, okay? And tonight we're going to start with in Psalm 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. And in Psalm 12 we read, "Now the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Well, the fires of the anti-Christian persecution throughout the ages, the false, all the false philosophies we've seen, all of the literary criticism that God's Word, the King James Bible, has, they've attacked it with, the scientific skepticism, and yet God's Word, the King James Bible, has been so far ahead of all of those out there today. We're going to look at that, how again, it is the greatest source of wisdom, knowledge that ever existed and ever will exist. And here we know all the pagan pantheism, all of the cultural distortion and apathetic difference have been directed at this Bible, God's Word, the King James Bible. And one of the things that many of those who produce the New Age versions will say is one thing they all agree in, the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, they all agree they're against the King James Bible. They're all in opposition to the King James Bible. And there's a good reason for that. We're going to take a look at that here as we go through this week. And he says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God's promised to guard his pure words through all future generations, folks. You say, "Well, we don't have the original autographs." Well, I don't have them, but I'll tell you this. God knows exactly where they are. A lot of people think that God may have placed those original autographs supernaturally in the ark. I don't know. It's the theory of a lot of people. We don't know where they are, but God knows exactly where they are, and he knows this, that they were that translated. He made sure that they would be translated exactly the way the originals are. God says that. Thou shalt keep them. He says it right there. Oh, Lord, thou shalt preserve them. And that's exactly what God... Look, God can do what he says he'll do. If he says he's going to preserve them, then you can bet what we have here is the preserved word of God. Here, the preservation of these. And these are divinely given words of Scripture. That they're, again, this King James Bible here is incomparably superior to all the other ancient writings. You know, think about all the other ancient writings out there, not just biblical writings, but all the other ancient writings. None of them have been preserved like God's Word, like this King James Bible. And we're going to take a look at that. And so here we want to take a look at the where it was purified seven times, And we're going to start with John Wycliffe. And I may repeat this several times going through the week, this week here, as we go through this lesson this week, because it's worth repeating. But in 1384, John Wycliffe, who suffered greatly for his work, translated the whole Bible into English for the first time in history. Now the church repays him by condemning him as a heretic. And then William Tyndale was burned as a heretic in 1536. So here in 1384, you had the first purification with John Wycliffe. In 1536, you have the second purification with William Tyndale. He was burned as a heretic for his biblical translation work, and he had the first printed English scriptures. Now, from what I understand, Martin Luther went to him to have the Bible printed there in German. And it was Tyndale, from what I understand, in 1536 that printed that. In 1537, Miles Coverdale's Bible translation, published with the King's most gracious license. Later, during the reign of Bloody Mary, he was hunted down for his life and forced to flee England. And then here in 1539, just 2 years later, of course, in 1537 with Miles Coverdale, that was the third purification. And then the fourth purification appeared in 1539 when Coverdale's Great Bible was changed to the pulpit. It was chained to the pulpits by order of King Henry VIII. Christians were executed. They were murdered. They were murdered for reading the Bible without a license. And boy, I'm going to tell you, there would be those that today that would love to do that. Though, yes, they would. I can tell you, if the Democrats had their way, they would do that to us today. And then, in 1555, the fifth purification took place when John Rogers was burned to death for publishing the Matthew's Bible, and he becomes the first victim of Bloody Mary, the Queen of England. And then the sixth purification took place in 1560, when Queen Mary commanded all the heretics to return to Romanism or face the consequences. Now, many flee to Geneva, and the exiled church leaders produced there the Geneva Bible. And that was the sixth purification. The seventh purification was the seventh major English translation of the scriptures. The King James Bible is published and adopted as the authorized version, authorized by the people of God, as the Word of God for the English-speaking, the Word purified seven times. I'll read the scripture again. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that's never been more of a case than it is today in America. And well, I want to tell you a little bit, too, about those men. And again, I may repeat some of this week because it's worth repeating. And these are the men here that the Lord used. 56 men the Lord brought together. Now, most of these men never knew each other. Are not 56, 54. There were 54. And 10 of them died before it was completed. But John Reynolds stated, he was the driving force behind the King James Bible Project. He served as head of the Puritan Church at the time. He died before the translation work was ever completed. But it was he who established the guidelines governing the work of the translators. Of the 54 men selected, 4 were college presidents, 6 were bishops, 5 were university deans, 30 were PhDs, 39 had Masters of Arts degree, 41 were university professors, 13 were highly skilled Hebrew scholars, 10 were highly skilled Greek scholars, and 3 were Eastern linguists who were fluent in Arabic and in English. All 54 men believed the plenary, variable inspiration of the Scriptures and the deity of Christ. All 54 men were men of prayers. And here, This is from the translators. They wrote this to us. The scriptures, then being acknowledged to be so full and so perfect, how can we excuse ourselves of negligence if we do not study them? Or curiosity if we be not content with them? The scriptures are not only an armor, but also a whole armory of weapons, whereby we may save ourselves and put our enemies to flight. They are a whole paradise of trees of life, a shower of heavenly bread sufficient for a whole host, be it never so great, a treasury of most costly jewels, finally a fountain of most pure water, springing up unto everlasting life. And what marvel, the original thereof being from heaven and not from earth, the author being God, not man, the penmen, such as were sanctified from the womb and endowed with a principal portion of God's Spirit, the matter, variety, piety, and purity, uprightness, the form of God's word, God's testimony, God's oracles, the word of truth, the word of salvation, the effects, light of understanding, the stableness of persuasion, of repentance from dead works, the newness of life, the holiness of the peace, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Lastly, the end reward in the study thereof, fellowship with the saints, participation of the heavenly nature, fruition of the inheritance, immortal, undefiled, and that shall never fade away. Happy is the man that delighteth in the scripture, and thrice happy that meditateth in it day and night. And so, here, I want to turn now to Matthew chapter 24. As we take a look at God's word, and in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 35, one verse we read here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Folks, actually, what he's saying when he says shall pass away literally means right now, even as we're speaking here, even as we're speaking, the heavens and the earth are actually in the process of passing away. We see the earth is degenerating. It is, well, that's a long story, but the earth is doing exactly what God's word, the Bible, said it would do in Romans chapter 7 and 8 there, Romans chapter 8. And so here, it's under decay. The law established by the primeval curse on the ground because of sin. Genesis 3:17, it started all the way back then. He goes on to say, my words, here again, the only physical entity in this physical universe, this is not subject to the law of disintegration, is the written word of God. That's right. What we were telling you about, God preserved this. He preserved this word. This affirmation by Christ is a tremendous assurance of its infallible and permanent, absolutely permanent authority. Let me read this again. As we always say, there is no such source of information, knowledge out there, that speaks with the absolute, and I mean absolute authority of God's Word, the King James Bible. There is no other source of information out there today in existence that tells you precisely where it all started, how it all started, where it is today, and where it's going in the future. And it's precisely and exactly without error. And it's the only source of knowledge, wisdom, understanding that was actually given to us by an actual eyewitness. Now, people are free to believe whatever they want. You can believe whatever you want. But there's only one source of information that has been exactly perfect for a millennium, for thousands of years. In fact, it took 1,000 years just to complete the Old Testament, folks. Okay. And it's the only exactly precise, perfect word out there, source of knowledge.
5 minutes.
With absolute perfect source of authority. Now, I want to go also here over to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read verses 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now that's interesting, because the day star is a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's referring to, until the Lord Jesus actually rises in your heart. And so here, there, when he talks about more sure word, as sure as Peter was of what he had seen and heard, this was only his own experience and could only be given, folks, as a personal testimony to others. But then Peter stressed that God's written word was available to all in the Holy Scriptures, was more sure. Peter made it very, very clear that he knew. He didn't just believe. He knew for sure, was more sure than any personal experience that he or others might have had. So it is not in Peter or Paul or as men as a matter of how sincere, how holy they may be, that we must trust. But Peter is telling you in Christ as revealed in God's written word. That's what he's telling you. And then he goes on to say, again, the day star, his return, Christ will be recognized as the true, bright, and morning star. Remember Revelation 2:28 and Revelation 2:16. And he goes on to say, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so here, the meaning here is that there is no true prophecy springs forth from the private reasoning of men speaking or writing. So it's only by the hand of God, folks. And so here when he says that, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God moved over the waters. Remember, in the presence in Genesis 1:2. And here we see how the Holy Ghost was moving in the hearts of men. Moved over the men. So the Spirit of God moved in the hearts, the minds, and the pens of the holy, that is called men that were called of God, men of God, and the Scriptures were formed proceeding from eternal mind. Folks, again, from the eternal mind of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but of holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And there you go. We'll be back right after this.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. fell in the tears in the last 100 years. We have fainted from the fight for his liberty and light. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and their global overlords now surround us holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
Alrighty, we're back, and folks, listen, very important, extremely apparent, we've been talking about this on November 7th, we have to go to the polls, it's going to be an election, folks, and here, it's imperative. Now, we tried to get the message out, but the other side was very, very good at confusing people on issue one, and so we lost on issue one. Because people were supposed to vote yes, but they got confused and they voted no. Now, on November 7th, it's issue one again. But this time, you must vote no. You must vote no, because they're trying to now, since they have it on the ballot, pass this, what they call the women's reproductive freedom. It is right from hell. And it was given this by demons, by ungodly, evil, satanic people. Now, folks, I'm not just saying this to be mean or nasty. I'm telling you, you listen to me. Please, pay attention to what I'm doing. Wake up. Wake up. Slap yourself in the face and become awake. Because you must come out to the poll. In fact, it would be very good if you voted early. I'm not one who was in favor of that, but we have to do it to beat the opposition, because it seems like a lot of the votes that come in late never seem, especially the ones that are pro-God, pro-family, our votes, pro-life votes, never seem to get counted. And so it's very important, very important. It's very, very important that you get out, you vote early. Now, here, they use some very, very misleading language in this legislation from hell, okay? And again, like I'm telling you, they're calling this the Reproductive Freedom Act, okay? The Woman's Reproductive Freedom Act, but it's right from the pit of hell. Now, it uses very, very misleading language. For example, it says every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. Okay, here's what they're not telling you. This includes minors. This includes girls, 15-year-old girls, your children out there, or your grandchildren, folks, that are influenced by ungodly, wicked, evil people in the public fool system, the media, TikTok, and Planned Parenthood. And so they can go and kill your grandchild. There is parental consent with no parental consent needed, and it's taxpayer-funded. Baby killing, baby murder, folks. God has said it's murder. On demand. On demand. They also tell you the state shall not directly or indirectly burden or penalize or prohibit interference with. Folks, these words are specifically legal terms interpreted by courts nationwide to strike down any parental notification, and consent laws. It means The state tells you you've got no rights. We will dictate to you what you can do with your children. And you've got no right. When, folks, God's word, the Bible, says not only do you have a right, not only do you have a right, folks, you've got a duty. You've got a charge. So don't let them intimidate you. Don't let these wicked, evil, and I'm telling you, they're ungodly, they're satanic, they're the same people that's involved out there with abortion, killing little innocent babies, with child sex trafficking. If it's evil, if it's dirty, if it's sinful, these are the same people that are pushing this. Minors are not protected. In this, they say, an individual's voluntary exercise of this right. An individual's, okay, this includes minors, the right to unregulated child killing. Unregulated child killing. The state will not interfere with a person or entity that assists an individual exercising this right. This amendment explicitly protects rapists, these are Democrats, sex traffickers, these are Democrats, and abusers who assist in procuring abortions for underage victims, folks. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Don't let them fool you again. In plain language, anyone who coerces a minor girl into abortion is protected if this amendment becomes law. That's right. As long as it's baby killing, folks, listen, in these courts, if this law, if your granddaughter or your daughter is drugged in to a bloody abortion mill and held down and physically your baby aborted, there's nothing you can do about it. That's how wicked, that's how evil, that's how ungodly, indecent these people are. The right to reproductive freedom with protections for health and safety, they have that written there. This eliminates any existing protections for health and safety. This eliminates any existing protections for health and safety and allows for painful late-term baby kills up until the moment of birth. And guess what, folks? Also, when it comes to dragging your young girls in there to have their breasts removed or your young boys to be castrated, and you have no parental rights. Now, I'm telling you this, and all of you folks that failed, those of you, every one of you that voted no on issue one, you betrayed God, you betrayed your country, and you betrayed all of the children that could be abused because of this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's not mocked. He is not mocked. Come November 7th, and I'm going to be on top of this as much as I can. Come November 7th, folks, you better be ready to go and vote no. And boldly, have the guts and have the common decency. You know, I'm so disappointed today with the apathetic, pathetic amount of people that call themselves Christians that have none at all, to stand up and fight for what's right, to stand up for the cause of Christ. I can tell you, they just make me sick. I can't tolerate apathetic, pathetic people. I can't. And so, here, think about this. Be prepared. And tell everyone you know, make sure you vote no on issue one. I can tell you this. In our church, people, if somebody came in our church and they voted for yes, they would have to come before the church, repent for that sin that they committed, or they would be disfellowshipped with, and I would be most unhappy with them. Probably would not even talk to them. That's how I feel about this, so. There you go. There's where that's at. Okay, so now you want me to tell you how I really feel, huh? All right. Did you know this? This is the same kind of people we're talking about right here. Drag queen principal reportedly previously were arrested for child porn. Right, folks? Here, This year, Dr. Shane Murnan will take on the role of principal on the John Glenn Elementary School in Oklahoma's Western Heights Public School District. And according to a report from The Blaze, on top of being a drag queen, Murnan served as a probation sentence for a marijuana charge, was in trouble for an undisclosed alleged offense, and has gotten caught for possessing child porn. Yes, that's the man who's going to have total authority over 400 students from pre-kindergarten through fourth grade. Now, think about that, folks. He reflects the standards. He reflects the standards of John Glenn Elementary School in Oklahoma, Western Heights Public School District. And, you know, you parents, that you would leave your children, think about it. Ask yourself, if you left your children in a school like that, or you didn't demand that this person be removed, how much do you care for your children? Murnan's history is convoluted and twisted, but extremely important for understanding the complexity of his situation, as well as the threat he possesses in his new position of power. I'm going to just stop right there. I forgot to make another announcement. For you folks in Northeast Ohio, here tomorrow night, that's right, for you folks in Northeast Ohio, the great Geauga County Tea Party, I will be there, Lord's willing. I will be opening the Tea Party, meaning Lord's willing, and at the Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio. And you're going to have, that's tomorrow night, it's 6:30 tomorrow night. You're going to have Tom Zawistowski. Tom Z is going to be there. Tom is the, he is with We the People Convention. We the People Convention. And also, Angela Manarino, and she's with the he is with the Americans for Prosperity, and that's at the Geauga County Tea Party, Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio. Again, that's the Geauga County Tea Party. Geauga County Tea Party will be meeting at 6:30 at the Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio. And so come on out and meet and greet us. And, you know, we're going to be talking about, just like what we're talking about tonight, we're talking about, you know, the tide is starting to turn in this country against wokeism, against the communism. That doesn't mean that things aren't going to get, you know, very interesting, because the communists now, they're worried. They're getting very worried. They notice, they're awakening to the fact what people are getting fed up. They're absolutely being fed up with the way things are. And so here, like I said, things are going to get very interesting because of that. And so we have a number of other articles I wanted to get to, if I could get to them there. Trying to pull some of this stuff down, and it's not working real good right now. But one of them is this. Trump can and Trump will pardon all. Andy Schaafly, this is an article from last week. One of the articles we never got to last week. And so here, again, this is Indictment Mania, a commentary by Andy Schaafly. And he says this: scheming liberals think that they have checkmated Republicans by charging them with crimes in state courts. Last week in Atlanta and before that in Michigan, scary terms like unpardonable littered the airwaves on the Sunday morning talk shows, misleading the public to think that President Trump cannot pardon crimes prosecuted in state courts. This is more fake news by the left. In 17 months, reelected President Trump will pardon all who have been victimized by those politically motivated prosecutions, including those criminally charged in state courts, folks. And the first one should be the January 6th heroes. Many presidential pardons over more than two centuries have fully protected the recipients against all prosecution and judicial proceedings. As President Washington broadly stated in his first pardon in 1797, no one credibly doubted then or now that a presidential pardon protects against state court prosecutions. The text of the Constitution and the decision by the Supreme Court support a broad pardon power as a prerogative exclusive to the president. The Supreme Court has repeatedly held that pardon and commutation decisions have not traditionally been the business of courts, such as they are rarely, if ever, appropriate subjects for judicial review. He goes on to say, it will be up to President Trump, not the courts, whom to pardon, and he has indicated that he will be very, very generous and merciful with his power, unlike other Republicans. Chief Justice Rehnquist explained on behalf of the Supreme Court that the clemency and pardon power is committed, as it is our tradition, to the authority of the executive. The pardon clause is set forth in Article 11, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, and applies to all offenses against the United States. All of the election integrity conducted by Republicans is viewed by Trump haters as an offense against federal elections, and thus the conduct is pardonable regardless of where charges are filed. Moreover, rights guaranteed by the Constitution have been expanded to apply against state infringements on them. As the Bill of Rights protects citizens against the states today, the liberal suggestion that a pardon would not apply against a county prosecutor is the opposite of what liberals have long insisted for the Bill of Rights. The presidential pardon power in our Constitution was copied from the boundless pardon authority enjoyed by the King of England in 1787. Just 3 years ago, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit held that the framers modeled this provision on the pardon power of the English crown, which, of course, was vast. Only one narrow limited existed for pardons by the King of England, and only the same restriction was copied into the pardon power inserted into our Constitution for our president. That prevents the issuance of a pardon to undo an impeachment, which makes sense because impeachment is a legislative rather than judicial power. Last year, the Supreme Court is ruling against New York gun control, emphasized that the Constitution cannot be interpreted safely except by reference to the common law and to British institutions as they were when the institution was framed and adopted. The King's vast power, a pardon power, confirms this same pardon power in our Constitution is nearly endless. One reason Trump is far ahead of his flaying rivals in that they refuse to pledge to pardon Trump, let alone the many other victims of these politicized prosecutions. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, himself running for re-election in Texas, chastised the unsuccessful rivals to Trump for how they refused at last week's debate to pledge to use the pardon power. On Monday, the Obama-appointed federal judge in D.C., in fact, folks, all of those that refused, I not only will not support, I will work against them now. Yeah, all of those. There were some that, you know, had they not done that, had they pledged to do that, then I would support him. Like Tim Scott, I would have supported him and some of the others, but now I can't support him, okay? There was only one or two, I think, that said yes, that they would. On Monday, the Obama-appointed federal judge in D.C. absurdly set the trial date for this sham prosecution there against President Trump, the legitimate president of this United States, President Trump. And that was that's a wicked, evil woman. She is wicked. She is, well, she's, God's Word, the Bible says not only is she wicked, she's unclean. For the day before the Super Tuesday primary in early March, Trump immediately vowed to appeal, and the Supreme Court will likely shut down this and other prosecutions of Trump because they interfere with American voters selecting our next president. The phrase, the United States, is chanted 71 times in the recent indictment of the 19 Republicans in Atlanta. It begins by falsely stating that Trump and the other defendants charged in this indictment refused to accept that Trump lost, and they knowingly and willfully joined a conspiracy to unlawfully change the outcome of the election in favor of Trump. Trump did not lose. That election was a dirty election. It was stolen. And anyone and everyone, and especially these judges, to say different are liars, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And I challenge any of them to have the guts to come on this program with me. Folks, listen, I could probably put together in no time at all a stack that's 2 feet high of articles, and I mean thousands of articles that we've gone over on this radio program on all of the election fraud, all of the things that were caught, all of the thousands of ballots that had the same person's name on it, all of the dead people that voted. Looking, all of those dead people that were still on the rolls, the voting rolls in Arizona, still on the voting rolls. Dead people have been dead for years there in Georgia. A truckload, it came to Detroit, Michigan, to the Board of Elections. They unloaded in a box truck filled with phony ballot. On it, it actually said, on the boxes of these ballots, Biden ballots. Okay, that was so corrupt. That election was so corrupt. And anyone and everyone, and you won't find one that'll come on this radio program and debate that with me. No, they won't. Because they know better. And so, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so, again, I want to go back, and I'm going to read that same paragraph. The phrase the United States chanted 71 times in the recent indictment of the 19 Republicans in Atlanta, it begins as falsely stating that Trump and the other defendants charged in this indictment refused to accept that Trump lost, and they knowingly and willfully joined conspiracy to unlawfully change the outcome of the election in favor of Trump. This sham Fulton County indictment asserts offenses against the United States within the meaning of the pardon clause. Of course, Trump can pardon everyone falsely charged in this politicized prosecution, and he will. Liberals further insist that President Trump, you know, I hope he doesn't pardon the ones that turned over on him, the ones that took a deal and to save their own skin, didn't have the courage to stand fast. Liberals further insist that President Trump cannot pardon himself, but 50 years ago, President Nixon was advised by some that he could pardon himself. Nixon then chose not to. The victims of the left's political prosecution should take solace that a reelected President Trump can and will pardon them. If timid Republican governors and legislators fail to stop political prosecutions, then once again it will be Trump who single-handedly overcome this. And again, I want to make it very clear that I will not only not support, but I will definitely work against any of those that were on that stage that refused to sign that agreement saying that they would pardon Trump. So that goes with Nikki Haley. That goes with the hornless rhino, Chris Christie. The hornless rhino, Chris Christie. And Nikki Haley, and especially Mike Pence, and all the others that refuse to support Trump, I will, again, not only will I not support them, but I will definitely work against them. You know, Trump's not perfect by any means. He is not perfect, but he's trying, he's learning, and he's growing, and I can see how the Lord has raised him up. You know, everything that they've thrown at him, and he's still standing. And folks, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are as bold as lions. And you can see that boldness in him, okay? And I just heard him come out and say that God is in complete control, okay? And God is with us on this. And I'm seeing him grow, and I'm seeing the persecution that they're putting him under is drawing him closer and closer to the Lord. He still has some problem with some of his vocabulary. It would be good if he could get a handle on some of that vocabulary. But again, you know, he's far superior to any of those, far superior to any of those other Republican candidates out there that are running. So there you go. Now, we have another study here. Maybe I don't know if I have time for it or not, but I'm going to try it. And that is this. Mask study published by the NIH, National Institute of Health, suggests that N95 COVID masks may expose wearers to dangerous level of toxic compounds linked to seizures and cancer. Where have you heard this before, folks? Where have you heard this before? Like 2 years ago, we had the doctors on here. Unbelievable that, you know, here, a study published in April found disposable masks can have a toxic chemicals. Experts say that they could make newly stated mask mandates ineffective. The surgical N95 mask that has been held up as the gold standard when it comes to protecting against COVID. But a study quietly reassured by the National Institutes of Health in spring suggests that the tight-fitting masks may expose users to dangerous levels of toxic chemicals. Researchers from Chonbuk National University in South Korea looked at two types of disposable medical-grade masks, as well as several reusable cotton masks. The study found that the chemicals released in these masks had 8 times the recommended safety limit of toxic violate organic compounds. Inhaling TVOCs has been linked to health issues like headaches and nausea, while prolonged and repeated use has been linked to organ damage and even cancer. Well, here, you know, here's all of the evidence. Just think about, you know, I'm going to pick this up here on the other side, but Lord's willing, or maybe get it later, because we're coming up to a break. And so I'll introduce this. We're going to be hearing a clip tonight from the shaman. You remember the fellow that had that during January 6th, that had the horns and he wore that skin on him, and he was called the shaman. He walked around carrying a staff there in January 6th. Well, we're going to be hearing from him. He's not as crazy as he appeared to be there, but we're going to be hearing a clip there from him on the Stu Peters program. So we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come. We'll be back now.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.